Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle found in every solar eclipse. Listen as we discuss the gestation period for what can be called the virgin birth or the birth of Christ, terms used to represent spiritual birth. In this show, we will explore the phases of the moon associated with the solar eclipse of December 4th, 2021, at 12 degrees Sagittarius, 22 minutes, to correspond with the generic dawning of spiritual light in human consciousness. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and initiate your developmental process. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Utilizing the Solar Eclipse. What would you like to see people learn about the solar eclipse and how to use it for a spiritual development?
Well, here we're starting to see that astrology can be a wonderful tool in understanding the underlying infinite spiritual body, because here we're learning how to experience the miracle of accepting and living in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual body, which then takes care of what is called or seems to be the personal physical body. And in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy writes on page 489, "The less mind there is manifested in matter, the better. When the unthinking lobster loses its claw, the claw grows again. If the science of life were understood, it would be found that the senses of mind are never lost and that matter has no sensation. Then the human limb would be replaced as readily as the lobster's claw, not with an artificial limb, but with the genuine one." That's the end of the quote. The idea of less mind manifested in matter, the better. Trying to get our identity out of being imprisoned in a physical body. And here we're learning to do is use the zodiac as a way of moving our attention from personal sense of self into a more impersonal, spiritual sense of selfhood.
Swami, let's talk more about the lobster losing his claw. Like, how is he able to regrow the claw?
Well, I like what she says, the unthinking lobster. See, what we're learning is this physical world, this human experience is a mental image. But what Mary Baker Eddy understood was the more divinely mental the image, the more harmonious and indestructible it appears. And this is all part of what I think we're going to try and put together with this eclipse cycle that we're analyzing and utilizing, because it creates a gestation period for what could be called the birth of a new consciousness, a new way of perceiving life. Not the physical, mental way that we are accustomed to, but this new spiritual sense of life that doesn't have the same limitations. It's not under the same rules. And what we're learning is thinking is exactly how we interfere with it.
So since the lobster is unthinking, it doesn't know any different. It hasn't developed that belief pattern yet.
Yeah, because we believe that we can't grow another arm if we lose an arm. And pretty much the collective consensus is really what's governing us. And what we're learning is that mind in general can't bring forth the divine image. And so we have to come out of that. And that's why we've been saying stop thinking, start knowing, because we think in terms of duality. We think from a rational human conjecture or a very limited dualistic perspective of what's really here. The mind is creating its own image. And with the collective consensus, we've set up all of these beliefs and human rules and theories that contaminate consciousness. And so as a result, we're unable to bring forth what is really here, what is the only self-existent power in the universe, which is spirit.
So we have to somehow break through this collective consciousness so that we can break these beliefs that we've been conditioned with all of our lives.
The way that we're socialized, we go about it the wrong way. We want to try and do this on a personal level, and we're working with this personal sense of self with my needs. And it's 180 degrees from where Scripture is suggesting that we go. It's not my will, it's thy will. Scripture tells us that we need to put off the old man. And so part of this whole process is educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. The difference between having a material, personal sense of self and even having a mental concept of oneself, and then eventually having this impersonal, spiritual sense of selfhood that is limitless, formless, changeless, eternal.
So how do we make the connection between the physical body and the solar eclipse, or astrology for that matter, and with the spiritual body? How do they all connect together?
Well, the way that I've been doing it is understanding underlying matter is energy, and underlying energy is the void, the nothing. You break your sense of self into three different realms. There's what's visible and tangible, physical. There's what's invisible but tangible, mental. And then there's what is invisible and intangible, spiritual. I can understand the physical body. The physical body is made up of 12 systems that are visible and tangible. Now, using astrology, I break that down into 12 zodiacal signs, which now gets me out of this personal sense or level of awareness up into something that is outside of myself. And it's impersonal because the same zodiac is used for everybody on the planet. When that becomes the template for what can be called the body of Christ, the infinite spiritual body, the one body of the one perfect divine creative principle, is what we're working with here. And I got a really great clue from the lesson. Martha Wilcox, who was a student of Mary Baker Eddy's, who learned from her to be faithful and orderly with the objects of sense in order to facilitate the access to the deeper things of the divine creation. And when you understand what she's saying, because we work with things or statements like attracts like, what surrounds us is within us, how we think is what we become, consciousness is experience. Now, a solar eclipse is a conjunction of the sun and the moon at the exact point on the ecliptic. And then they're also at the same latitude and longitude. They're at the same declination. In fact, the moon comes before the sun and it prevents us from seeing it. Now, we know exactly when that's going to happen and where it's going to happen. But what we don't see is what is creating it to happen. And what is creating that to happen is divine law. That is the activity of the Holy Spirit. But in using the solar system and the zodiac, what we have now is something that is visible and very tangible to us that we can associate with the perfection of being. It's something that is logical, orderly, and you can count on it. And so in this practice of educating thought up to spiritual apprehension, we can start to understand, say, for example, like my muscular system is now associated with the zodiacal sign of Aries. My urinary system is associated with Taurus, My respiratory system is associated with Gemini. My digestive system is associated with Cancer. My circulatory system is associated with Leo. Now, when I'm doing a practice, which I do a series of postures called salutation to the moon and salutation to the sun, what I'm basically doing is attuning the mind-body complex with the divine idea. Now, I know that you can't bring the divine creative principle to matter. But by attuning the mind-body complex to the divine idea, what I can do is I can lift my concept of a material system to the divine idea. I can bring that to the level of the zodiacal sign, which is in conjunction with, I think, what Mary Baker Eddy was saying, the less mind there is manifested in matter, the better.
So you're saying the less mind, the better, but when we're going through postures and then we're also trying to work with the systems of the body, isn't that using our mortal mind? Would that be defeating the purpose?
Well, to answer your question, that's part of this process. That's why meditation is the seventh stage of yoga. It's the eighth stage of Buddhism. This preparatory work, and just like Martha Wilcox, to be faithful and orderly with the objects of sense, we do that in order to be receptive to receiving the higher or the deeper things of the divine creative principle. So it's preparatory work, the effortful work of concentration. At some point, something clicks and we're no longer thinking about it. We know. And so in this process, where we're stopping thinking and we're starting to know, all of a sudden, you're not a human being in a physical body anymore doing physical postures. You are that place where the divine creative principle is expressing itself through you as you. This is all part of educating thought up to spiritual apprehension.
So let's discuss now the gestation period for what can be called the virgin birth, the birth of Christ, what we say were terms that represented the spiritual birth.
Jesus tells Nicodemus, we must be born again of water and the Spirit in order to know the kingdom of heaven. And so here we're learning yoga means union, the union of matter, mind, spirit, the union that takes place, this inner marriage. And what it really turns out to be is, on a simplistic level, consciousness is experience. To be conscious of the divine creation, we need the mind of Christ, which is born of the knowledge of truth. The union of soul with the divine, without man, is the meaning of this virgin birth. Now, that's a very complex inner state of being that we are trying to achieve here. And we're using a lot of words, and until we really have association with direct experience of the presence of the divine creative principle illuminating our thought, the God experience, we're just working with human words and human thoughts about that. And so in this practice of meditation, we really stop thinking. We make our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of the divine creation. And in silence and in stillness, we watch, we wait, we listen, we let this spiritual light dawn on us. And with this dedicated watching for spiritual light, when we have that revelation, that's what's called the birth of Christ, where all of a sudden what seemed to be nothing becomes conscious to you on a human level. Now, you're not talking about this creative principle anymore. You're not thinking about it, but you are starting to realize it. And then we cultivate that.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor, so listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1,
Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, let's get back to talking about the correlation between the phases of the moon with this virgin birth or spiritual birth that we're talking about.
Yeah, and what I thought we would do is use the solar eclipse that happened on Saturday, December 4th, 2021, at 12 degrees Sagittarius, 22 minutes, because every solar eclipse, if you, what we call, plot it in an ephemeris, you look at the eclipse point where it happened, which is a new moon. And on a new moon, the seed is in the ground. We don't see anything on the new moon. Then what you do is you look for the first quarter moon that follows that eclipse point. So say, for example, this new moon, 12 degrees Sagittarius, 22 minutes, happens on December 4th, 2021. The first quarter phase that is associated with that eclipse point is on September 3rd, 2022. And that happens at 11 degrees Sagittarius, 14 minutes. Now, the seed in the ground, divine omnipresence, is always at hand. But we're not always conscious of it. And the solar eclipse is a visible activity to remember creation of this union of awareness to spirit. The sun and the moon are conjunct, revealing the faith and order of the objects of sense under the control of divine law. So the solar eclipse is a great time for this dawning of this spiritual light within your consciousness. What surrounds you is within you. What seems to be happening outside of yourself is happening in your consciousness. The sun being the symbol for spirit and the moon being the symbol for matter. They come together. Matter and mind have no existence in the light of spirit, because spirit is all. Spirit is the only self-existent power in this universe. So we really don't stop at what is visible and tangible or invisible, but tangible. Go beyond all of that. We want to live above corporeal sense, period. It's an opportunity for us to be conscious of this creative principle and start to develop a certain degree of faith and belief in it. Now, when you're plotting this out in the ephemeris, you look at the solar eclipse and you look at the eclipse point, the sign of the zodiac that it is, the degree and the minutes that it's at, and then you add 2 years, 2 months, and 28 days, and then you go to your ephemeris and you look, and you should find a third quarter phase of the moon associated with that eclipse point. This particular eclipse, the third quarter phase is going to be on March 3rd, 2024, and it's 13 degrees Sagittarius, 32 minutes. You just go through the ephemeris back to December 4th, and then you start looking through, like I said, the first quarter phase is going to be September 3rd, 2022, and then if you keep going through the ephemeris, you'll find that on June 4th, 2023 is the full moon phase. Now, we talked about the first quarter phase. That's the seed sprouts. By remaining conscious of the divine creation, we will now have demonstrated living above corporeal sense. This sprouting of the seed may be called the birthing of the Christ, which makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. In a sense, we are given one of the two eagle feathers in Revelations, one symbolizing awareness of the divine will, the activity of the Holy Spirit, the divine idea. Now, the full moon phase, that sprout now flowers. The flower is in full bloom. And so here we're stepping out into the full light of the divine consciousness. We're given the second eagle feather, which demonstrates the divine will. And then the 2 years, the 2 months, and the 28 days are over on March 3rd, 2024. The flower wilts, and the new seeds go to the ground. In development from the material identity to spiritual identity, the old withers and the new flourishes. We put off the false concept of a personal sense of self, and we graduate into the impersonal, spiritual, infinite, one divine self. And one of the things I recommend that when you decide that you want to do something like this, utilize an eclipse cycle, is to keep a journal. You really want to keep track of what is appearing in your experiences on a material sense level, and then following the transits, the Sun and Mars, when they form aspects to the eclipse point, become triggers. So you can really start to see the relationship between what's happening in your external experiences and how you're thinking. What are you conscious of? And are you straying from awareness of the divine creation? If we have knowledge of the infinite spiritual body and we are faithful to our understanding of that, you start to externalize the divine creative principle. Things in your outside world start to demonstrate. You start to see you are conscious of the divine creation.
So should I understand that each phase, I see that there's a year in between each phase. Does that mean it's going to take us a year to come to the realization as to what these phases really mean for us spiritually?
Well, it's kind of interesting because as spiritual light begins to dawn on us, and our identity begins to shift from material to mental to spiritual, we really start to come out of time, space, concept, belief. We stop thinking. We start to give up personal will and personal sense. Spirit is the dissolving force of the universe. It's translating everything back to itself. And spirit is the changeless state of being. It's a very different thing, but in the framework of plotting an eclipse and trying to figure out a gestation period for something that's invisible and intangible, I found this to be a helpful tool.
So I realize that we're in a dualistic kind of environment with this material world, but when we're talking about a spiritual birth, would there be the opposite, a spiritual death?
Well, to answer your question, no. Spirit is eternal life. There is no death in spirit. Yeah, it's very interesting to start to see that the mind we have accepted to get us through this lifetime, it can't bring forth the divine image. It can't comprehend the absolute wholeness. It works on duality. It works on separation and contrast. Would be kind of like trying to get your email with a calculator. We really have to come out of the mind that is producing the false sense of existence completely. And in that realization, that's why this third quarter phase, there is this wilting of the flower. What seemed to blossom kind of reminds me of going down to Cape Kennedy and watching a rocket ship take off, you notice once the rocket ship is out of the Earth's gravitational pull and the atmosphere, these parts break off and the rocket ship keeps going. We can't bring this false sense of existence into spiritual consciousness. And in this practice, in this process, we're coming out of time, space, concepts, belief, thinking, human will, personal sense. And it's interesting because we're not trying to make something happen. We're trying to let go of the belief that it's not happening.
So I have another question for you. So when we're talking about the virgin birth or the birth of Christ, where does that exactly fall with the phases of the moon? Is it at the end of the cycle that that begins?
Well, I think it corresponds with a similar thing that happens with a material birth. Where does it begin? It was the union with the man and the woman and the impregnation of the seed of the woman. And then there's this gestation period before the actual birth happens. So the growth is a continuous growth, and there's different phases of that. And I think a similar thing is with this growth or birth of this new consciousness, that it also has a gestation period. And I've been using the phases of the moon to try and correspond with that, along with the solar eclipses.
So we're talking a lot about the birth. Let's talk about the death in, as it means in Revelations in the Bible.
Yeah, in Revelations, they talk about the second death. And in chapter 2:11, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Yeah, and this is something Herb Fitch really helped me out a lot with, because he explains it. Why is it a second death? Because your first death is really when you accepted human birth. When we accept our mortality, that I am a physical, finite, mortal being with an expiration, we're dead to Christ. We're dead to the truth of our being, spiritual identity. And everything that we're talking about here is about coming out of the false sense of existence and being rebirthed into the truth of our being. But we really, all we have to do is give up the false sense of existence, give up the belief that we are not an eternal spiritual being. And what we're learning is that can be quite challenging, because you can't do it with the mind we're accepting to get us through this life. And so we're learning to practice. And practice makes perfect only when practice is perfect.
So, Swami, how would we know and what do we expect if we were to be born again?
Well, your life would then be that place where the divine creative principle expressed itself through you. And the message of the Christ is, heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. Preach the gospel, your life would probably have those divine qualities. And if they didn't, I think I would be a little suspicious about what it was that I was calling being spiritual.
Well, we're going to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, and you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio. If you click that, that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then don't forget, clicking on the Products tab and then Online Classes directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. So, Swami, any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in the soul, and initiate your developmental process. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.